It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are continuing our series of election debates, and in a change from previous days, we start off at 9 o'clock. And we have Carn Donagh in our focus today, and we've got two sets of debates, two sets of candidates, all with the one goal of getting one of the four seats that are available. If you want to get involved in this conversation, by the way, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. And also you can comment on email, comments@highlandradio.com. And just to invite you, if you want to watch the debates throughout the course of today, you can go on to our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch us on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, or just go on to highlandradio.com and click the Watch Live browser. Right, OK. So the first half of the show dedicated to our next five guests. Johnny McGuinness of Fine Gael, Ali Farran, 100% Redress, Martin McDermott of Fianna Fáil, Tony Devine of Sinn Féin, and Martin Farran of the Labour Party. And we'll give each of our guests, as we have throughout the course of these debates, an opportunity to say hello, really, and I suppose to outline what's important to them. And we'll start with you, Tony Devine of Sinn Féin. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
And hello, everybody out there. I'm delighted to share my why I'm running for Sinn Féin in the upcoming election. As some of you might know, I've been involved in community activism in health and education and environment for most of my adult life. So I feel I have a lot to contribute in terms of experience and perspectives on issues. Particularly highlighting the defective block issue and the trauma it's causing, not just in terms of campaigning for the scheme, but in terms of people's lives. It has been a huge disaster for Donegal. One of the main reasons I'm standing is because I'm a woman who has led out on local issues many, many times. What surprised me and shocked me was that there's only one returning woman to the election campaign from the last council's sitting. So I just decided to hell with it. There needs to be more women.
All right, it's a good a reason as any, and yep. We'll tease out all of that, of course, as the morning wears on. To your left is Ali Farran, standing for 100% Redress. Why, Ali?
Well, for those who don't know, Ali Farran from Malinhead. I live in a defective concrete house. I work in a defective community centre, and I live in a crumbling community. So that's the reason we set up the 100% Redress Party. I'm here running, looking to be a voice for crumbling homes and for crumbling communities. And if elected, we will speak up and send a strong message to government that things is not all rosy here in Donegal like they want us to believe.
All right. Now, also with us, Johnny McGuinness. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Greg, to yourself and to all your listeners. And I'd like to thank you for welcoming me here today to take part in this debate. And I'd like to wish all the candidates good luck in the upcoming election. I've been very proud to continue my late father's work here in Inishowen. And with your goodwill and support, I would like to continue working hard for you to ensure the development of local services and amenities. This is my first time running for election. And if I'm lucky enough to be elected on Friday the 7th of June, I pledge now to the people that I will work as hard as I possibly can for the entire 5-year term of the next council. I pledge my full support to everyone affected by the defective concrete block scandal, including all the businesses and farm buildings that haven't even been considered yet. I will fight for those families that are not adequately being served by our healthcare system. I will fight for the farmers. I will fight for the fishers. I will fight for the children with additional needs and disabilities who are currently being let down by inadequate support and resources. I'll be a strong candidate and advocate for the delivery of rural housing, which is vital to the survival of every village and town in our community. And I will fight for every business in rural Ireland, including the small farmers and fishers, and especially the small businesses that employ 70% of our workforce. Thank you, and please give me your number one vote on Friday the 7th of June.
All right, thanks for that. We now say good morning to Martin Farron, running, of course, for the Labour Party.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. You know, as your local representative for the last 15 years, I've worked extremely hard for the benefit of the community in North and East Yone. In my three terms in office, I've tried to deliver as much as I possibly could for the people that I represent. I'm very proud and honoured to have been your public representative over that period of time. I also feel that I've worked as hard as I possibly could to try and bring as much as I could to our local community. We alluded there, as the other speakers have said there, about the defective block scandal that we have here. I think I was the first person who actually would have brought it to the attention of Donegal County Council at the time, something in, I think around 2012. And today we're still talking about it, and none of us are happy with the way this has been dealt with. The government have dealt with this very, very badly over a lengthy period of time. And in my opinion, they should be ashamed of their performance over that time, as was alluded to me on the doorstep by so many, many people, that if this were to happen in Dublin or in County Dublin, this would have been addressed a long, long time ago. But from my own perspective and from the perspective of the Labour Party, we're fully 100% redress. As far as I'm concerned, people are getting their houses fixed there at the moment, and they have to get them fixed because they're falling down.
Now, we are going to be debating, rather than going into the wider issue.
Okay, I will finish off. As I said, it's been a great honour to represent you over the last 15 years. I will be asking you, and I have been asking you over the last number of weeks, for your number one vote in this election. And as most of you would know, I've had quite a significant amount of flyers, and in 95% of that time I was at the front door myself with that flyer, simply because I feel if people are good enough to vote for me, then I should get to that door myself. And that's something I've always done. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll hear much more, of course. Martin McDermott of Fianna Fáil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to the listeners. I'm Martin McDermott. I've 10 years done in Donegal County Council, and delighted to represent the people of North and East Yone. I've re-elected. You know, there are major issues that we still have to deal with in North and East Yone. Tourism being a big part of that, and defective concrete blocks, is the main issue that we deal with in North and East Yone. I've been the chair of the Defective Concrete Blocks Committee for the last 5 years, and I've worked extremely hard in that role to try and help as many families as I can during that period of time, and I would like to continue to do that work over the next 5 years if re-elected.
Excuse me. OK, that's our candidates. I'll tell you what we might do is take our first commercial break, and then that will clear the decks and we can hear much more then from our five guests today. So we'll be right back after this short break. Stay where you are. OK, you're welcome back to our local election debates. We're focusing on Carr and Donagh over the course of the next 3 hours, and we've split the debate into two to accommodate all candidates comfortably around our table. Now we have Johnny McGuinness of Fine Gael, Ali Farron, 100% redress, Martin McDermott, Fianna Fáil, Tony Devine, Sinn Féin, Martin Farron, the Labour Party, and inevitably top of the list of concerns amongst all of you is going to be defective concrete. Johnny McGuinness, just a note from your preamble a little earlier on. I mean, your commitment to defective concrete victims not only goes beyond, you know, what Fine Gael are committed to, but even beyond what Sinn Féin are committing to, you know, 100% redress for absolutely everybody. How can you deliver that within your party?
Well, I don't think it comes down to what the cost is. I think it comes down to what's the right thing to do. And anybody that's affected by defective concrete blocks, they didn't deserve to find themselves in the scenario that they find themselves in. And it's up to the government to find a way to finance the remediation of every single building in this country. And no one should be out of pocket, be it a homeowner, a business owner, a farmer, a commercial building, a local authority, nobody. And if there has to be a levy put onto the building sector going forward for the next couple of decades, or if there's...
Is that not another tax on people for building houses, though? Why that's the public having to pay for that. You know, the building companies aren't going to absorb that levy.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, OK. So, I mean, it's the government's responsibility. I'll come back to that point again. And it's up to them to finance this. And I think it's been a lack of supervision of the industry and a lack of investment in the staff that's necessary to carry out that supervision. And all of that penny pinching, for want of a better terminology, has resulted in this scenario unfolding in front of us. So at this stage of the game now, it's time to put away the bean counters and actually invest in the proper supports and the proper market surveillance and the proper production of building materials in this country. And whatever the cost of that is to the local authority and to the government itself, then that will ultimately be paid by the Exchequer. Unfortunately, that's how the government operates, and that, unfortunately, that's how this will be financed going forward.
Just in relation to this, and I'm not having a go, obviously, in terms of 100% redress, your former Minister, TD Joe McHugh, he stepped away from Fine Gael because he wasn't happy with what the government were doing in this regard. You're standing as a Fine Gael candidate. Did it ever cross your mind to step outside the party, given how passionate you are about 100% redress for those that are looking to vote for you?
I mean, we've all thought about where we're going, you know, in our lives, and we've all thought about what's the most, well, the best way to try and progress the issues that are affecting our county here in the country. And Joe, quite rightfully, had some red line issues that he stood firm and fastly on. And at the time, those red line issues weren't met. And unfortunately, he had to exit the party. Now, I still support those red line issues. And, you know, whatever, like, I mean, I will take a stance. And at this point in time, I think there's too many people that have been thwarting the progress of this current scheme and the previous scheme. And it comes back to the bean counters again and the civil servants again, the permanent government, those members of staff that are there, regardless of who's in charge of the country. And it's that, it's those people that I think we need to remove. It's those people we need to...
And why... Well, I'll come back to you. Martin McDermott of Fianna Fáil. I mean, do you go as far as Johnny McGuinness in that you're advocating for a fully funded 100% redress for all scheme?
Yeah, Greg, I suppose, like, that's something that we have been pushing from day one, to be fair. That's what we want. I suppose everyone knows that it's not as simple as that.
Why not?
Well, we know over the last 5 years, and there's been a lot of discussions at local authority level. There's been a lot of discussions with departments. There's been a lot of discussions with senior civil servants.
Yeah, but that
servants
was all overcome for the pyrite crisis down the country.
To try and get a scheme that was workable for everyone. The scheme that's there, and I've said this to you before, and we've had this conversation on many an occasion, is a scheme that is workable for some people, but certainly not workable for everyone. And that's something that we certainly have to look at now. As you know, when the legislation came in last July, until this July, that there was no option to change that legislation. Once the 13th of July goes by this year, there is an opportunity then for that legislation to be changed. And I do think that there's certainly elements of that legislation that does need to be changed at this stage. There's certainly, in relation to the cap, only last week, and I was on with you, Greg, we got a workaround in relation to the ancillary monies, which was a serious issue for a lot of families where they hadn't the money to put up front. Again, working with the senior staff within the council, I brought a motion to council to try and move that on, and luckily we did, and now we have a situation where people are able to get that upfront cost.
Do you think it is a good scheme?
I think the scheme is certainly not a good scheme for everyone. Absolutely not.
No, but just break that down for me. What does that mean? Is it good for one person? No, is it good for 80% of people?
It probably works for less than 50% of the people in the minute, Greg, and from my daily workings with people.
So less than 50. So around say 45% of people are getting their houses.
If you look at the amount of houses that we have to remediate at the minute, right? The vast majority of those, well, around 50% of those are below 2,200 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
And about 50% of them are above that. Houses that are below 2,200 square feet, a lot of them will be able to make...
I was chatting to someone who had a 1,200 square foot house, and they're 40,000 short.
Yeah, again, going back to the lower size houses, so if you go down to a house that's, say, 1,000 square foot, or what you said, 1,200 square foot, those houses are costlier to build than a house if you come back up to 1600 or 1700 square foot. So I think, you know, using maybe the square foot or the square metre cost for rebuild is a bit of a blunt tool when it comes to houses and remediating houses.
So what about, like, the people who made the mistake now, it seems, because this is about the scheme and getting on the scheme. They filled the cracks and painted their house. Someone's come around and says, there's nothing wrong with this house. You're flying.
That's a fundamental problem. And I mean, this is something that I've set in front of a senior staff from the department. Councillor McGuinness was there, and Councillor Doherty couldn't make it that day and as a representative from the Defective Concrete Block Committee. It's something that I have had numerous conversations with the housing agency in relation to in the last number of weeks, where I have a number of families that have got engineers' reports done by a professional engineer that states that their house is defective. Yet and all, those families during that period of time, for different reasons, had to get those cracks within their houses filled because they had weddings, because they had different things that just happened
just
during that period of time. Sick looking at it being one of them. And no circumstance should the science not be listened to. And I mean, the point that I made to the department official that day was, if you went to Letterkenny Hospital and a consultant said to you, you need a bypass, and you come back down the road and asked and went into your own doctor, and he says, I sure don't worry about that. It'll be all right for 6 months. So you can't, we can't leave that. And you know, the housing agency have to take that on board. They have to look.
Well, we'll talk about how we can, and we can talk about how we can compel them to do so. Tony Devine, your party's partly signed up to the people's document, which is sitting on the table there to your left. Still a lot that wasn't signed up to, or portions of it that wasn't signed up. Do you agree with the party stance on that, or would you like to have seen a full backing for that document?
I would like to see Sinn Féin getting in the next election and getting on with the job of building houses. There's no end to this unless we have a plan and we have it in place. And the only way you're going to get that done is by voting for Sinn Féin into government. And the first step of that is getting Sinn Féin councillors into the county council. The scheme is called a scheme because it's a scheme. It's not right. It's just as Martin is describing, it suits some people, it doesn't suit others. This is not a well-off county where people have money in the bank to front up the initial costs. I've asked, Ali, you and I have been on committees together, the anti-Mica subgroup with the IDP. And every week from when we started that committee, looking at services for Mica, I've said the word. Defective blocks. I used to call it COVID, by the way, that the houses had COVID. Anyway, the defective block house owners have a right to know what the county's emergency plans are. I have asked and asked and asked, and it has been silence. It's as though we're caught in a web of a scheme, and it's people trying to get their heads around it to accept it, and it's not working. Sinn Féin in office will build council houses and affordable houses, and we will, on the first tranche of money, we will build the houses of those where the defective block is.
You can see why some people might sort of go, well, how? Because you're promising to build social houses, public houses. Yeah. First will be the defective concrete houses. Yeah. How can any party in this country, in this environment, deliver so many houses as committed? You can understand why people might be quite cynical of that, because that would mean there's an active policy of not building houses currently in place,
Absolutely.
Or else they'd be doing it themselves already.
I mean, at the minute, Donegal doesn't fit in with the government's policy of building social housing at the minute. They're banned from it, isn't that? Would that be right, gentlemen?
No.
That there's no social housing being built at the minute?
13.
Is that just coming?
There has been a period of 10 years since the crash where very few houses were built, but there's a monthly housing meeting and apparently plans for quite a number of houses are progressing.
Are progressing. Not built yet.
No. And neither are the Sinn Féin houses.
Well, Sinn Féin's not building houses, but I'll tell you something. Yeah. There are loads of empty houses, and when we saw the need for emergency housing, and it's like a rolling boulder down the road. It's going to grow, and there's the notion of a crisis or a trauma is already here, and we have not got a plan. I look at houses in Moville and I say, there's a good house for somebody who needs emergency housing, who have maybe a disabled child.
Well, we'll talk about how we can get housing, maybe some of that housing back into to use. Ali Farron, you've heard from Johnny McGuinness there, Martin McDermott, Tony Devine. Is there anything there that's given you hope?
No.
Why not?
The reality is, if Johnny's party and Martin's party has been doing this work, there'd be no need for me to be sitting here at the moment. Like, we're 10, 14 years down the line of no plan. Even the existing schemes at the moment are not fit for purpose for a lot of people. There's people that I'm speaking to that have no way of getting on any scheme at the moment.
What's the barrier?
Cost. But there's lots of other things, you know, and they could simplify a lot of the bureaucracy. They could make it easier. If, you know, we need these houses rebuilt. We need them, you know, so why cause hassle? Why cause more trouble? Even the drawing down of the payments, and these are things that the council probably could do more. They could be more effective. They could have more people there to help them. So there's lots of issues, and there'd be no need for me here if I believed that the present governments at the moment have any interest in doing it.
But there'd be no... obviously, it remains to be seen whether or not Sinn Féin is part of the next government or leading the next government. Have you any... Would you have much confidence that party might deliver?
Well, they didn't endorse the People's Document, which needs all these... Every part of it needs to be completed for us to get on with life.
Do you accept the argument that they endorsed, the principal private residence, one other resident, and then down the line we'll look at...
Yeah, well, sure, that's another political promise. That's a promise that we probably will not get delivered from, in my opinion. I just don't think that they're enough... They're playing with the voter at the moment. There's lots of defective concrete out there, and just one house and another one, they're saying if you're an accidental landlord. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a landlord, and there's nothing wrong with if you... At the moment, there's plenty of landlords in this area that have bought houses and are renting them out to residents to live in, and they've no hope of getting on a scheme because they maybe have three or four houses. It's ridiculous.
We heard from Martin and we also heard from Ali. Martin Farron, I beg your pardon, Martin, sorry to come to you last. We'll come to you first and all this stuff as well, of course.
I'm listening to the speakers there now, and as I said, this has been going on for quite some time now, this defective block, as we used to call it, MICA. And I would have been the first person basically who would have brought it to the attention of Donegal County Council at that time. And we're still sitting here 12 years later. And the scheme isn't fit for purpose. We know it's not fit for purpose. And like everybody else, when you're on the doorsteps, the cap of 420,000 in a lot of cases isn't actually filling. You know, people are out. You've mentioned it yourself there, where one family they had an extra 40,000. And this is a regular occurrence. So, I mean, look, it has to be 100% redress. As Johnny alluded to there when he spoke at the beginning, nobody should be out money in this, because it's not their fault. You know, we're forgetting about the people who've got large mortgages as well, 30-year mortgages that they're still paying back on. Our banks are just not listening to us, basically, like the government, they're closing their ears. And as I alluded to at the beginning, if this were to happen in Dublin or in County Dublin, this would be addressed and dealt with, and Ali Farron wouldn't be sitting here. because this would have been addressed. We are forgotten about, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. I blame a lot of it on our own public representatives. I'm talking about the people that we have here representing us in Donegal. They should have come together collectively, Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and they should have demanded, because from...
In what context, though? How do you mean the councillors?
They should have demanded from the department that the people in Donegal get 100% redress. Let's not forget, they're sitting in Dáil Éireann, they're sitting there because they're voted in by the people of Donegal to represent the people of Donegal. Yeah. And I expect them to come in a situation like this, is one of the biggest things ever to hit Donegal, that they should have been coming together and working as a team and speaking out one voice instead of taking lumps out of each other.
Martin,
because
do you accept that?
At the end of the day, it's the people that are living in these houses that are suffering, and suffering very, very badly. And the trauma that these people are going through is just second to none.
Do you agree, Martin McDermott, that the councillors could have worked better together to push...
TDs,
right, OK. Yeah, your TDs
the
as well.
Members.
Right.
I was speaking about Oireachtas members.
OK. I mean, do you think that the Oireachtas members could have come together more and more united voice? Or, I mean, when you're in a party political system, we saw what happens if Joe McHugh decides to speak outside of sort of the party policy, you're out. Yeah. So do you think Martin Farron's suggestion is realistic, Martin McDermott?
Well, look, I think that, to be fair to the politicians, you know, this has been on the lips of everyone for quite some time. And, you know, particularly here as local councillors, I think, you know, over the last 5 years, there has been an awful amount of work put onto this, Greg, by councillors. There's a lot of work. I have spent probably 80% of my time day in and day out dealing with people that have defective concrete blocks, and you know, there comes a point where we have to say, you know, are the people in the department listening to what we're saying? If we go back to February of 2020,
just in relation to that, if the department are messing about, right, would it not be up to sort of someone who with the intimate knowledge of this, like Darragh O'Brien for an example, yeah, to say that this is what I wanted to deliver, but the permanent government, the high-ranking civil servants are blocking my way. Mm. Instead, though, he goes on national TV and effectively says, right, that's that problem sorted, on to the next one. So if there was a permanent government issue, why would the government not call that out and say, yeah, look, our hands are tied?
And they should call it out, Greg, and they should call it out because, you know, with a lot of discussions that we've had over the last 5 years, you know, a lot of the stumbling blocks in relation to trying to get elements of the defective concrete block scheme in place have been blocked by senior civil servants, not just in the Department of Housing, but also in the Department of Finance, which is another department that plays quite a large role in the rollout of the defective concrete block scheme. And sometimes they're forgot about when we talk about this scheme, but they have had lots of input into what and how the scheme has fallen the way it is. So, you know, there's those departments have to be called out in relation to this as well.
I'll bring Martin Farron back in a second. But Tony, I just wanted to go to you, Tony Devine of Sinn Féin. You know, I think everyone around this table and in this room is acutely aware of the distress that this has caused people. Broken Absolutely. Relationships, children damaged, people that are no longer with us.
Yeah.
And then there are a cohort of people that are saying, right, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to sort of wait and see if Sinn Féin delivers in power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the impact this could have on people's emotional and physical well-being, if Sinn Féin were not to deliver, how worried about that are you? Or are you fully confident in the party? Because I'll tell you, if those promises, if your party's in a position to deliver them and doesn't start delivering them very, very quickly... Yeah. The ramifications could be enormous for people's well-being.
Yeah. The ramifications have already started, Greg.
I know, but people are literally waiting on your party. And how confident are you they'll deliver it?
100%.
Right.
They've done their budgets. And
well, it wasn't in the manifesto, so no, let's but just that, be clear on that.
Babe, you don't say things like that unless you've done your sums. The other thing to remember, Greg, is that the parties in power at the minute think differently than Sinn Féin or Labour. they think differently about problems. For example, going back quite a while to Brian Cowan, when the banks were squeaking, and Brian Cowan, just with an amazement, was saying, but we have an open economy. In other words, let the market speak and run the country. And that means then that you are under the influence of wider, more powerful things. Yeah. So Sinn Féin's different from that. Our first priority is the people of Ireland and what their needs are and care for them. And if I am standing here and hoping to get elected, that is what I am about.
I'm not asking you to answer, but I just wonder, what is the movement like in Northern Ireland where Sinn Féin is in power in terms of assisting defective block owners and the likes of Derry and Tyrone? I'm not really quite sure. I haven't heard much about it.
I
don't know off the top of your head. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, okay?
I don't know. But can I just say that you're right to bring up the trauma and the difficulties and the death and the just all of that, which is all traumatic.
It is.
And it is not going to go away. And what I want from the local county council, and what I want from the HSE and from hospitals and all of the rest, is to take on board the recognition of the harm that this is doing. And Greg, it will go on. Trauma lasts and it can be generational.
Oh, yes, Martin Farns, sorry, you want to come back in, and Johnny and Ali will be in as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in there. Martin was speaking there. Like, whenever our council was set up there 5 years ago, we set up our committee, the Defective Block Committee, and Martin asked me at the time would I propose him as chairman of that group, and I did. And Martin has done an excellent job over that 5 year period. And I always want to say this, like, when Martin would be speaking on Highland Radio and speaking about the Defective Block, he was speaking on behalf of all the councillors, because we all supported what he was saying, or 95% of us would have been supporting what Martin was saying. So I want to get that point across here today. But what's so annoying is the fact that the government completely ignored us as public representatives, as councillors on the ground who are working on the ground. We had absolutely no say in how this was being rolled out. We were given no say in it at all. Similar to the Donegal County Council, they have to sit and wait until the directive is actually given from headquarters in Dublin. And this is something that's been going on. And I feel in this new council now, whenever it's set up, if I'm lucky enough to be re-elected again, I feel that we should be given more clout and more power to express our concerns, because what has happened over the last 5 years is not fair, because as we know, as public representatives and a councillor, and I'm there 15 years now and I've worked extremely hard as I possibly could, and you're dealing with roads issues, housing issues, water issues, planning issues, and you're dealing with things on a day-to-day basis working with the public out there. But I still, Martin didn't answer my question, or didn't answer your question, and he didn't mean not to, in relation to the TDs and senators. I feel that they, and Donegal, I feel that they should have played a more pinnacle role in the delivery of these schemes coming.
Answer,
and I feel
Martin myself, do you think they should have? I think, what do you think? Answer them directly, I suppose.
We've said that from day one. There's been quite a few. Martin, you've been very clear on that from day one, that there should have been a more collaborative approach at national level from all the RoCTA's members within the county to make this happen, and you know, come from a point of view of Donegal instead of coming in from a point of view of a political party.
But party politics and the whip system doesn't permit that to happen,
That is a very difficult thing to achieve at national level, Greg, as you
But you
well
believe
know.
They should have sacrificed then their party allegiance.
I think if Joe McHugh went outside the party, if he has to go outside the party.
But what has he achieved since then?
Well, look, I mean,
and I don't mean that in any way disrespectful to
Joe. No, I understand where you're
McHugh.
Coming from. He may have been put outside the party, but he's still a TD, he can still speak. Look, we are in a situation here in North and his own, a dire straits. Yeah. And this is the worst thing that's ever hit us for years and years to come. And I think the one thing that has to be done is these Oireachtas members have to stand up to be counted. And there's probably going to be a general election now within the next 6 months or 9 months. And I think people should think about
those debates at that time, I suppose, but I appreciate your comments. Ali Farron?
There's no doubt about it that the people we have elected to go to Dublin although this is a county council election and we're talking about a Dáil election, but the reality is we've sent people to Dublin who haven't worked for us. End of story. Haven't voted for us. Like, I did not vote for somebody to go to Dublin to take the party line when
but
it doesn't
suit me. Someone
listening
is saying, if we're going to talk about the general election, you should have waited and stood in the general election and displaced one of them. What about council?
Maybe we will be running somebody
in
the Dáil election. But, I was just listening to Tony there talking about Sinn Féin's policy, and you asked about what's the Northern policy. Well, there's certainly a lot of defective concrete blocks in Northern Ireland. It didn't recognise borders. But neither has the Sinn Féin crowd acknowledged the likes of the holiday homes and their manifesto that they're not going to repair. Like any shown, especially, is we have 50% of the houses are holiday homes. We need holiday homes in this area. And if we leave them much longer, it'll be like Gaza from a point of view that it'll be, you know...
Okay. Yeah,
so
it's never going to be like Gaza, but I take
no,
your
but,
point.
No, but yeah. The point is that the houses will be, you know, they'll be in a state that they'll just look like Wallsteads.
Johnny McGuinness, you wanted to come in there?
Definitely so. I'd like to agree with what's been said there. The Oireachtas members haven't done enough and they should have been speaking collectively. I mean, this can't be considered anything other than an absolute emergency. Mm-hmm. And if we described it as an earthquake that took place somewhere anywhere else in the world, there would have been an emergency response. And anybody who wouldn't have been toeing the line to do everything for anyone affected by that emergency would be treated like a pariah. And they wouldn't be able to even show their faces in community.
Johnny,
and this is no different.
There's an irony here, right, that you're calling out every other party, probably because Joe McHugh took a stand, but you're standing in for Fine Gael. So, is it fair that you're coming across as an independent, but you literally are using the party's money, their posters, their logo, their reputation? You know what I mean? Can you ride two horses like some might feel you're riding two horses at the moment? Like, if you be the first to take a stand, you clear out of Fine Gael. You're calling on everyone else to do it.
I will take a stand, but I'll take a stand within the party because only there can you affect change.
But that's
and unfortunately, Joe has stepped out of the party and he can no longer affect
Charlie
any change.
Charlie McConlogue might say. He might say, well, listen, I can affect change as
well,
a minister.
If you stay within the party and you're trying to fight for change, that's one thing. But if you're not, that's a different thing. And as you've said before, the Oireachtas members should have stood tall together and they didn't.
Yeah.
They should have been county people, and they didn't.
That was Martin Farron said that, not me. Right, Martin McGuinness. Yeah, Martin McGuinness. Martin McDermott. There's a lot of Martins around the table. Martin McDermott.
Yeah, I think, Greg, we have to be honest here as well. We're running for Donegal County Council. We're not running for the Dáil. And the change that we have to make is going to be at local authority level. And, you know, we have a scheme that the council administer. It's a scheme that is designed by the Department of Housing. It's a scheme that both the legislation and regulation is passed in the Houses of Oireachtas. But we, I think, as councillors, we're maybe going off the mark a little bit.
Are we really? Because firstly, we've got Tony saying that you should vote for her because Sinn Féin's going to fix the problem, right? Your government's in power.
Yeah.
Again, I'll put the same thing to you as Johnny did, that, you know, this is the biggest issue, right? And then, so you can't sort of say, well, let's not talk about that because it might not be favourable to your ambitions.
That's not what I'm saying.
So why not?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, you know, as local councillors, we have to try to... make sure that the local authority administer the scheme in the best possible manner so that people can get on the scheme easily, can get through the scheme easily, and get their houses fixed as easily as possible. That's what we will be doing as local councillors, because that's the role that we have. And I think that there are elements of the scheme at the minute that we can improve, certainly at local authority level. There are parts of the scheme that I think that we can change if we put the will power to it, and you've seen that in relation to ancillary monies. I think that's a role that we have to take very strongly.
I don't mean this facetiously, right? But if we were only really to debate what councillors had power over, we'd be talking about the variation of the LPT, and we'd be talking about what you're going to do with the 90 grand left over that the executive allow you to negotiate at the end of the year. So if we were only going to talk about stuff councillors actually have power over, it would be a long couple of weeks.
I think it's very important
people know, I think, where councillors stand because they're elected. They've got access to ministers' offices. They could, if a motion is put down, they can have no confidence in the minister. I mean, that is what people are looking for. Sorry, Ali, did you want to come back in here?
Well, I work in a community centre who our biggest job is getting funding for X and for Y. And we deal a lot and fill a lot of application forms to the Donegal County Council for funding. Mm-hmm. So that is something that can be done locally, you know. And Martin is right from a point of view, is it, like, I'm here to run to be a candidate in a county council election. And while I will have a voice if elected, the bottom line is it happens in Lyfford or it happens in Carndonagh that we need to like, there's a tourism budget.
And we're going to come to some of that stuff after 10. Johnny McGuinness, you wanted to come in there?
Well, I just wanted to speak about, Tony mentioned there what Sinn Féin would do in government and Yarran government in Northern Ireland. And as Ali has quite rightly said, the six counties are covered in mica, defective homes, defective concrete block homes. And at this moment in time, there's 19,000 homes that haven't been built under your government because Sinn Féin won't raise the charges necessary to improve the water and sewage facilities for those planning permissions, and those developments are standing at a standstill. So that's 19,000 homes that haven't been built since 2023. So how can you say that you're going to do anything differently? How can you say that Sinn Féin is going to think differently? How can you say that you're going to do a better job than what we're doing? And as Martin has correctly said, we don't have an executive function when it comes to mica, or defective concrete blocks, as it's called now. We go to Lyfford, and we, as Greg has said, we look after the local issues. This issue will not be resolved in Lyfford, and anybody that thinks it can be resolved in Lyfford is misrepresenting. And I will just say, if I'm returned come June 7th, I will work collectively with everybody
to
progress
this. Tony's well capable of speaking for herself. We've started on this issue. Tony has a lot of priorities outside of defective concrete, some that she can enact more in the council. It just so happens that this is what we're talking about. And because everybody that's text in wants to know before they vote where you stand on these issues, whether you have the ability to influence them or not. And that's just the way democracy works. OK, more from our guests after we take a break. OK, so just to give you an idea of the format, when we have to take a break for the news and obituary notices, a lot of you waiting on that. And then our guests, please God, will stick around and we'll run till 10:30. And then we've got a second batch of candidates from Carndonagh who will be in. Greg, could you please ask the debate this morning on defective concrete blocks? My house has been given option 3 and is a semi-detached house. The attached house has been approved for demolition. What do I do? I mean, that's a quandary, isn't it? Is that part of the fault of the scheme, Ali? Or
if you follow the science at the moment, it's ridiculous. Like, you have to go for the people's document, which says every block has to come out, foundations and all. So it's ludicrous. It's, you know, it's a government again, penny pension, and, you know, not going to deliver a proper scheme that people can get over with, get on with living, and, you know, cut out all this anguish and mental health problems. They just need to deliver a proper scheme.
Martin Farron, you wanted to come in there?
Yeah, just to follow up on what Ali's after saying there. Like, I mean, they keep putting in these stumbling blocks the whole way through it. When we go back with the sliding scale, with so many other things thrown into the equation, which was slowing the whole process down. And he's after saying there now, like, if you're demolishing your house, first of all, they ended up by saying, well, if you take out your foundation, you're not going to be covered by the scheme. Then they tell us, OK, you are going to be covered by the scheme, but you pay for it yourself. You know, the whole thing is a complete disaster. They don't know whether they're coming or going. Anybody that goes and takes their house down, the one thing you're going to make sure you do is take out the foundation. I mean, that would just is only common sense. And that has to be covered within the scheme. Well, this is it. When do we know it? When are we going to know about the rental scheme, the 15,000? I know Martin made representation to the department on that about, can we have that 15,000 paid out?
Well, that's been resolved, has it not, Martin?
Has it been resolved?
The portal's
been
opened,
can they pay the 15,000 out now? Well, that's one
With invoices or proof of...
Yeah, well, that's one
aspect. A caller wants to know, what happened happened with the houses in Carndonagh that were finished 2 years ago when their line locked up and nobody in them?
Well, I checked that out again in Carndonagh there, and my understanding is, when I spoke to the council, was that they're actually they're working with a developer in relation to that.
Okay,
they're trying to come to an agreement in terms of the price or whatever, or buying them or whatever the case may be. That hasn't been resolved.
Do you know if they built initially with a view to them being offered for social housing?
Well, I know that the Donegal County Council are hoping that that will be the case, but they are working with them in relation to that.
Johnny, did you want to come in on that?
Yeah, they were built specifically for social housing.
But it was a verbal agreement, presumably.
Well, I mean, there's agreements in place. Mm. Unfortunately, the agreements haven't stood up when it comes to the transfer of the properties over to the local authority. The local authority are offering prices from 2018, and the developer has incurred extra costs there to ensure the houses are fit for purpose.
This is holding up a lot of houses across the county.
Some developers
are saying, because of this penny pinching, we're actually going to start investing our money and our resources in the likes of Northern Ireland. I mean, this is a... And I spoke to one developer on air, by the way, I don't know any off air, who said already developers now are looking to different markets because they're not going to be dealing with this crack with the council. When you talk about property delivery and you talk about what the council have power over, this is problematic.
This is a grave concern to everybody in the Shone area, and they're driving in and out past that development every day. And everyone knows there's a shortage of housing there. And I'd just like to expand on that. The crux of this issue is that the prices that are being offered are from 2018. But on the other side of that coin, the cost for the local authority to deliver similar houses...
But was the money spent in 2018?
Money spent with what?
By the contractor in 2018. The money was spent in 2018.
The bill started in 2018.
Yeah,
there was other works carried out in that period after that period of time.
All right,
but
okay.
just to put it in context, the cost for the local authority to deliver similar typed houses is six figures greater than what they're offering for those houses at the moment. So that's something that has to be taken into consideration.
Okay, Martin, do you want to come in there?
Yeah.
Briefly, if you don't mind, and I'll take the news, then we'll come back after.
Just two things, yeah. I think that, you know, we need those houses in Carndonagh. You know, North Innishowen needs social housing very, very badly at the minute. And, you know, whatever needs to be done to resolve the issue there has to be done very, very quickly, because it should never have got to the point it has got to.
But it's kind of worrying with all these promises on the table when we can't get houses that are finished into use, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's despicable.
Just on the lady that asked the question in relation to the
could have
the
been
home
a fella,
or the man, or the could have been a fella as well, probably. But just the person that asked the question.
Just double checking you didn't get it sent in. I'm only joking.
The person that asked the question in relation to, you know, the semi-detached houses with both together. There should be no situation where two semi-detached houses are one as getting a different remediation option to the other. But for that person, you know, they are probably going to have to go down the road of an appeals process there, just to let them know what has to happen.
Yeah, you know, the way. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thank you for all of your patience. Thank you to the patience of Johnny McGuinness of Fine Gael, Ali Farron, 100% Redress, Martin McDermott of Fianna Fáil, Tony Devine, Sinn Féin, Martin Farron of the Labour Party. Lots of stuff coming in on different issues. The Alzheimer's unit in Carndonagh Hospital has been sitting ready since March and is waiting to be inspected by HICWA. Can any of the candidates help speed things along? Families need respite. Now, of course, this is a matter for the HSC, and councillors have been making representations in relation to this. Anyone au fait with that wants to come in on it?
Yeah.
Anyone? Sorry, Johnny McGuinness first and then...
Yes, we've been making representations on behalf of the restoration of daycare services there at the hospital, and also the preservation of the SRU unit at the convent in Carndonagh. And actually, Martin met with the Minister Butler just in the last couple of weeks. So the department have funding ring-fenced for a greenfield development, but in the interim, the building has been going under HICWA inspection, and I think we're not too far away from it being ready to progress. I think it's the infection prevention control measures that seems to be causing the trouble here. And unfortunately, you know, this building was fit for purpose for many years before COVID, and it's still fit for purpose if it just gets a little investment to improve some of those IPC conditions.
Martin Farron.
I just want to echo what Johnny's just after saying there, and hopefully this will all come to fruition. But again, with HSE, as you mentioned there, they're very, very difficult to work with and slow things down to a snail's pace in a lot of cases, and hopefully it will come to fruition and we can get it sorted out. Can I just say one thing when I'm speaking here as well? I was out at Cavison and Cairn there a few days ago, and I've discovered whether this is correct or not. The ambulance service, Martin, myself and Johnny would have brought this up before. My understanding is that there's no ambulance on standby at weekends in his own. And I think that's a very serious situation. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed and addressed immediately. When you look at the size of the peninsula, it's got a population of 42,000 people, size of County Louth. So that is something that I intend to look into and speak with my fellow councillors on that and see what can be done to move that forward. If that is the case, that's a very serious situation.
Yeah, I suppose going down to the basic level of provision in the society, and that's care for our young people and supporting families. And a lot of people texting in. I'll start with you, Tony Devine, on the issue of CDNT vacancies in Inishowen. Parents, guardians, very frustrated that the young people, the positions seem to be vacant and funded, but people can't be attracted to the area. We probably could end up going back to housing on this issue as well. But, you know, families feel, you know, very let down.
Yes.
You would
agree.
Because
we're all supposed to be equal and the state is supposed to look after us when we need care. And with children, it's outrageous, immoral that the state doesn't do that through the HSE. Staffing, you've said it yourself, there's a difficulty with staffing, both in terms of attraction to the area and to the salaries and the development of your skills here as well. So there's a whole load of things, including no houses, very high rents. And Letterkenny Hospital does not have a good reputation. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there are chunks of consultative posts just not being filled. And you're alluding to that as well, Greg, when you're talking.
It's all part of the same the same area, health.
Yeah. Health has been eroded. The budgets have been eroded. We have no beds. It's frightening going into emergency department. It really just, I've been in and scare the life out of you.
Martin McDermott, can anything be done to try and fill some of these vacancies? I mean, the hospital might be a bigger nut to crack, but is there anything, do you think, can be done to try and get staff in place to help these young people and their families?
Yeah, I mean, we, as a society, Greg, we have to look after our most vulnerable. And at the minute, the services, and particularly services in North Inishowen that have been depleted and taken away to other parts, even to South Inishowen and to Letterkenny and to other parts of the county. I don't take this short staff and the staffing issue. If there's a staffing issue, there's a problem somewhere, whether it's in relation to what they're getting paid. People have to be brought onto that, and we have to look, the HSE need to look at the levels of pay that they're giving people, because people are going elsewhere.
But there is an attitude that if you put a service into Letterkenny, that's in his own sorted.
Yeah, but that's not.
So how do we break through that then?
Where Ali lives or where I live, I mean, it takes me an hour.
Yeah, but how do we get that into
Kenny.
The HSE? Because they also believe that if you put a service in Sligo, that's Donegal sorted.
Yeah, which is ludicrous. Like, and I mean, like, we've been fighting, as Johnny touched on there, in the Alzheimer's unit as one a very important part of the Cairn Hospital, the respite care for, I have families that have disabled children, children with different disabilities, that haven't got respite in 6-7 years. You know,
can there be no variance of the HICWA stuff whereby the same thing that happened during COVID, where there's a balance, right? So it's the protection of people's safety and to ensure a building is fit for purpose, but also in the interim to say, well, actually, you know, we can deal with that, but we need to get people in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Why is there no wiggle room? Because it sounds to me sometimes like HICWA is an excuse to block services.
Yeah, well, HICWA's been used certainly as an excuse in the HSE, because everything you go to look for or do, HICWA's brought into it, has been the problem here. And that's the answer you get back. Like the SRU in Carndonagh, for instance, was in relation to being closed down back in March. Again, we met and we fought that, and the families fought that, and we're meeting now with them next week. And, you know, we've turned that around where that's not going to happen.
Okay,
and
I'll bring others in now, yeah. Okay.
That's the fight we have to do.
But like everything happens in this country, it's that slow. You talk about a snail earlier on, you would need an accelerator to get moving. The amount of things that's happening, they happen that slow, and nothing ever gets done.
Well, the closures happen very fast.
Yeah, but
the reopenings happen very slow.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
like, there's beds lying empty in one or two of them units in Carndonagh and, you know, there's no reason why people can't get respite, for instance. There's people... parents or people that I know that can't even take a week's holidays because they can only get 5 days or 6 days. You know, people who are looking after adult children. It's ridiculous.
Martin Farron, you indicated you want to come in there.
Yeah, just to follow on from what they're saying there, I mean, we talk about the HSE and, you know, that there certainly has to be responsibility in them to ensure that they've got enough staff. You know, there's people in there being paid to employ people, get people in. I mean, I had an example there last week. For example, I was on your radio show here where it was brought to my attention, for example, the Moville Children's Clinic. The dentist was closing, and that everybody has to go to Muncrana. And as you alluded to yourself there, are they going to make Muncrana like a centre of excellence where people have to come from Moville and the whole catchment area there have to travel to Muncrana? And they did this without any form notice. The people are absolutely raging. I have to speak to a person now on he's on holidays, I don't know where he is, on the 4th of June, and I intend to bring this up and deal with it, because the health centre was put there for a purpose. It was put there for the people in that area to be dealt with, whether you're going to see the doctor or going to see the dentist, and I want that reversed. I mean, again, this is another decision by Donegal or by... the HSE just decided, without asking, not looking at the big picture, they said they're down to 10 dentists for the whole county. Well, bring in more dentists. If they have to pay them extra money, bring them in. Why should the communities be suffering because of their inadequacies? You know, that annoys me.
John McGuinness.
Thank you. I believe that the regional health boards need to be reinstated. Since their abolishment, the HSE West, which meets out of... Merlin Park in Galway, and I drove my father down there on a number of occasions, and it was the only time he ever came out visually upset from any meeting, and he just says that they hadn't a clue what they were doing. They didn't have any knowledge of rural Ireland, how rural Ireland works or operates, and they didn't have any idea what the needs of rural Ireland were, and that is still true today. And until such time as we get accountability in the healthcare system, until such time as we have representation on regional boards, then and only then can we make progress. I do take umbrage to the fact that funding has been cut. There has been a number of large investments in recent days. There's been 12.5 million funding for digital assistive technology. That's to help with children with additional needs. There has been 10 million announced just yesterday by Minister Butler for mental health services. And last Tuesday, there was 6.2 million that was announced for a national pay type fund, National Purchase Fund, for parents of kids with additional needs, where they can go to the private sector and acquire the services they need, be it diagnosis, certification, occupational therapy, speech therapy, play therapy, cognitive behavioural therapy, all of those services that they're finding difficult to acquire in the HSE at present. And those payments, up to $1,600 per child, will be fully reimbursable. And that should clear the backlog and clear the way for parents of kids with additional needs to get the services they need immediately.
It'll probably be more bureaucracy as well, Johnny, like more hassle for
so
parents.
So the parents have to pay in advance?
Yeah, so it'll be...
The fund is there and the fund will be paid, and it's already started. There's 500 iPads also in circulation at present on a pilot scheme, and they're preloaded with the speech therapy software.
So just back to Carndonagh, pardon my lack of local awareness, but there's questions about the community centre and the respite services not being available. Are they provided in the one building, or are they two separate services, Martin? So the respite care and the day centre in Carndon, are they the one?
No.
Right,
no.
Well, so that's two separate buildings, yeah, so separate services that are absent from Carndon at the moment.
Yeah, the Milltown House is where there was respite being for children
and
with disabilities.
Did we answer what the story is in relation to getting those services returned?
Well, we met with Minister Butler a few weeks ago, as Johnny said, and the Minister did give a commitment that, you know, if somewhere was found within Carndon, an area within the town, that she would fund that and she would open
the
day care centre. But the problem is, you know, and to be fair, I don't think that's very fair. She gave a commitment that she would fund that. The problem is that it's not going back into the community hospital, and she was very clear on that that's not happening in any setting over the country.
Tony, did you want to come back to that?
But she is happy for it to be built on site. And also, you know, the big thing that we were pushing in that day to the Minister and to other senior members of the HSE is that Carndon has to get its own primary care centre. North Innishowen needs its own primary care centre. We can't be travelling to Muncranna or anywhere else.
I'm agreeing with you. But I'm also saying that there's, besides there not being enough staffing and expertise, I've forgotten the point I was going to make because I was all gung-ho when you were talking. But
do you want him to start speaking again?
I wanted to start talking again. But it literally is, I'm agreeing with you about North Innishowen. I was going to go back to the dental issue.
Yes, go on quickly,
The issue for me is, we now have four schools in Moville and they take away the dental service.
60-mile round trip.
What in under God is that about? It's also, it reminded me as well of when you were talking, Martin, about the input of voluntary organisations into pushing need into the limelight. Voluntary organisations are a whole pillar of the services of Innishowen, and they have to be commended. The other issue for me...
Can I just say in relation to these issues, though, just in talk about what councils do? I mean, is it not a case that maybe, you know, the council agree on stuff for a position and they probably have in relation to this, and then it's raised through, you can make representations, Tony, and it's raised through the offices of Padraig McLaughlin on the floor of the Dáil.
Yeah.
You can bring it to the attention of Minister Charlie McConlogue. He can say to you, right, I'm going to raise this at the next cabinet meeting because I've got that seat at the cabinet table, and that's how local democracy feels it feeds international politics. Why is that not happening? It just seems that it's everybody else's fault and we don't have responsibility for this. Yeah. And I think the public get quite frustrated by that.
And they get up and do something about it. And they show what's going on in the depths of their communities and highlighting the issues that need dealt with. We're always in a process of change. Things change, lives change, communities change. And in that process, new things come to the surface that need attention and need money. That does not mean that the things that have been set up 10 years ago, that there's money withdrawn from them to give to the new problem.
What is the role of the local authority and we only have about 5 minutes on this, though, in reversing what seems to be the rural decline? And it's not just rural areas. You know, people would have concerns that places like Moville are losing losing essential, not just services, but, you know, facilities and what have you. Martin Farron, do you recognise that sort of picture? And, you know, is this one-way traffic? Can it be reversed?
Well, I think it should be reversed. I mean, this is why I think we it's important. This is where a local public representative comes into the equation, because we're on the ground and we know precisely what's happening in the case of...
But it's happening on your watch.
It's happening on my watch. It was like the banks closing down, unfortunately, with no say in that. They just decided to close their banks and you have absolutely no say in it. What I do in my own situation in relation to this here, what's actually happening, I will make a very strong representation to try to ensure that service is returned again, and I will do my utmost to try and make sure that happens. Hopefully it won't be falling on deaf ears. You were speaking there about Martin there or Johnny getting onto their TDs and bringing something up in the Dáil. This is all good crack. They get up and they bring up this motion and they speak about
but
it.
You've got TDs,
but unfortunately they don't, a lot of them don't follow through on it. You know, you've got to follow through on things.
Yes, but back in the day, there used to be a day. But we used to have a situation where policing in Donegal was raised in the Dáil all the time. You know, other on the ground issues whereby ministers in power had to respond to that. Where is that representation still happening? Ali Farrington, do you
want to... Maybe there is representation, but again, you know, at the moment in rural Ireland, you know, young people can't get living or building houses in rural area. That's on their watch. You know, you mentioned Garda stations. They're more closed than there is open. That's on their watch. You know, the decline in rural Ireland and the decline, and probably Donegal, as we seem to think we're the second, you know, we're not being listened to. But it's vitally important that we keep people living in the rural areas that we live in and go to school in, and you know, support our clubs and things like that. And at the moment, the way things is going with social housing, there's a dire need in this county for the council to build social housing. And when I mean social housing, a teacher now needs a social house. A guard needs a social house. Years ago, they got a loan.
You know, staff might need,
you know, everybody needs housing to get on the list. There's people in my area that work in my area that are living now 25 or 30 miles away because they can't get planning. These are issues that the council can deal with. You know, rather than writing emails to a minister in Dublin who reads and sends you back a fancy email, which they've been doing for years, but there's very little delivery in North Innishowen for a lot of these projects.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the housing department does have a great deal of control over planning in this county.
I think, Greg, as well. I think, you know, you were talking about bringing in developers and building more houses, and I think that needs to happen again. But I also think as well that the scheme that they had, and I would ask the government to do that, is look at first-time buyers coming in and give them a grant of whether 30,000 or 50,000 to get them on the property ladder.
There's no houses, that's the problem.
Yeah, but
give them planning permission would be more important.
Get the developer, encourage the developer to come and spend money here and build houses.
Last word from you, I think this might be.
I think we have, you know, we've done our development plan there recently, Greg, and you would have seen that going through, and there has been, with a year or a year and a half of discussions, rural Ireland being the main topic for...
But the National Development Plan trumps that, though, doesn't it?
That's what I was going to go
Okay,
on
sorry,
to.
Beg your pardon.
So we've tried to you know, make that plan as best for Donegal, and for particularly rural Donegal, that people can get building.
But do you know who's the Minister for Housing?
But yeah.
And in control of that.
And absolutely.
And do you know who sits around the cabinet table with him?
No, and I know that, but like, we have to...
Whose friend?
We have to... Okay, right. We have to make sure that our development plan works for the people of Donegal. And, and there's been a lot of work because, like, SA houses is one of the big things that I've been pushing for quite some time. I really, really think that that's one thing that we should be putting back and doing. Building SA houses for local people.
So building, that's where the council builds house on the person's land and they take a section of the land.
They take a section of the land, they build a house for that person. I came from an SA house. Yeah. There's lots of people came from SA houses.
For sure.
That was how rural Ireland was built.
Okay, Johnny McGuinness,
that's
sorry.
The one thing I would like to see.
I guess your SA houses are SA houses.
Thank you. The demise of rural Ireland is certainly something that's happening before our very eyes, and it's up to us, be it at local level or national level, to fight those policies at every chance. Yeah. Dublin-centric policy does not work in Donegal. It's as simple as that. Now, our issue here, there's more issues contributing to the housing shortage here in Innishowen than just supply and demand and who can get planning permission and who can't. The biggest issue is capacity in the water and sewage treatment. And Irish Water is holding Innishowen to ransom.
It's actually really quite a valid point. That
And until such time as we can progress capacity improvements with Irish Water in all of our little towns and villages in rural Innishowen, we will not have houses. Incentivise the houses, the development of houses, that must happen.
Okay. Yeah. Johnny, thank you very much indeed. All of you, thank you so much. It's been very interesting. Tony Devine of Sinn Féin, the best of luck with everything.
Ali
Farron, 100% redress, same to you, as Johnny McGuinness of Fine Gael. Martin Farron of the Labour Party, and Martin McDermott from Fianna Fáil. Best of luck with your elections campaign, and we look forward to seeing you up at the count centres and what have you. Okay, we're going to take a break. Come back in 4 minutes. We'll have another panel of candidates looking for your votes in Carndonagh.